looking like a limb torn off, or all together just taken apart.
Look out for the policeman. Band of Horses, everyone. You guys sound great. Sound great.
We're getting there.
So, Mirage Rock is your fourth studio album. Do you still get kind of a nervous excitement putting your new songs out there in the universe?
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. To the point where, like, I'm probably the hardest person to deal with release week for my wife and probably my bandmates. I just hide under the covers and wait for the smoke to clear, basically, you know?
You know, I read that you described making a record as an art project, and I thought that was an interesting point to make. Can you elaborate on that idea of the art project that an album is?
Yeah, I think the last one we did, we had only really ourselves to bounce ideas off of. But with this one especially, it felt like an art project because we brought in a producer that we hadn't worked before and we didn't really know that well. And he basically becomes the sixth member of the group. And in a way, we give ourselves into where he wants to steer it, you know? So it's not what I think the album is going to be. You know, say 6 months before we started recording, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what songs are going to be on there and what it's going to sound like. And you get into that situation and you all collaborate and you embrace everyone's ideas, including Glenn Johns, who produced the record. So he helped choose the material, and you give in a way, and you say, well, this is what we're doing today, and this is what we're doing for this album. It doesn't matter if it's a bit risky or something, or it's not what you thought your album was going to be, but it's an art project.
We're referring to Glenn Johns, who, for our audience, those of you who don't know, is a legendary producer. You know, he's worked with The Who and The Stones and The Eagles and, you know, a lot of history there. Were you a bit awestruck getting in the studio with him?
Not in the studio as much as on the phone and via email. When it's trying to figure out what we're going to be doing together, it's easy. Just when you're not sitting down with someone face to face, things get lost in transmission or something like that. So that stuff really got cloudy before we stepped into the actual studio. And then everything became a lot easier than I imagined. He's very personable and very nurturing in the studio, and made it a lot easier than I would imagine.
How many songs did you bring, demos, did you bring into the studio session?
I would say anywhere from 50 to 60 songs that were actually done. I mean, maybe they didn't have like a bridge or an intro or something, but I mean, a ton of stuff. And a lot of it we ended up recording the same way we did Infinite Arms. We went to Texas and just recorded ourselves. And that was almost 20 songs long in itself, not to mention all the other home demos that we did.
Do you look at each album as a distinct, you know, creature, or is it more of a continuum of songs that you've written over time? And, you know, are any of these songs on this album from, you know, old bits, old ideas?
I don't think so. I think it was all fresh stuff that was written while we were touring for Infinite Arms. It's like the first one was a complete shock that Sub Pop would have interest in us at all, much less give us some money to go record these songs, because it was my first time songwriting ever in my life. And then the second one was a different kind of terror, because it was trying to stretch 7 songs into 10 instead of being an EP. We were trying to make an LP out of this thing. And then Infinite Arms was a really long process of us coming together as the 5 real people, the group of this band, the finally defined lineup, and embracing that aspect, which is totally different from this one, which is, okay, now we all trust each other. Let's give some of that trust to someone else.
You know, there's some making of video footage of you with producer Glenn Johns, and it's interesting to watch because it really feels like a student-teacher kind of relationship, even in your physical demeanor. You know, you're very kind of humble on the floor, you know, and you're going through your own songs, which is also, you know, very vulnerable, I guess.
Yes.
to let somebody chime in and give you that feedback. Trust someone to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think you took away as the student from that experience with him?
Oh, so much. Besides the fact that he encouraged me to put a third chord in a song, which is usually, a little bit awkward for me to put more than 2. He certainly helped with the arranging part. But I think, like what you said, he wanted us to pull out an acoustic guitar, and without any of my brothers accompanying me, which they helped so much to hide all my terrible musicianship. And I'd never done that before, where it's like, okay, this is the bare bones of the song, and I guess now we're going to pick it apart. But that really helped a lot. It brought so much to the process of recording, because you can see the bare bones of it and figure out from its smallest essence how to improve upon it.
Well, with that in mind, is it fair to say that this album is more personal then, or raw, or true to live? You know?
It's hard to say, because there was so much material to choose from. There were songs that were more personal to me that didn't end up getting recorded, and some songs that are a bit rock and roll vibe and a bit, you know, shambolic. So it's personal to me, but I'm sure it could have been a lot more telling at the same time.
You know, it's interesting to me, because you come across as very humble and even somewhat surprised that everything has gone so well for you and for the band, you know?
Oh, my God.
Sort of like a certain innocence in this whole process. But, you know, for someone that dropped out of school in the ninth grade, who, you know, taught yourself to play the guitar, who put this band together, who kept this band together, and now looking back on four albums, it can't just be dumb luck, you know? There has to be some real vision and guiding principle. And I just wonder, looking back on it now, what is, you know, your sort of motivation and drive in this? Is it just sort of a dedication to your craft?
I was definitely headed down the career dishwasher path for a long time. And I've always just been a music spaz. I just love to nerd out on music. And I remember I was nannying for a friend of mine and listening to, yeah, dishwashing at night and nannying during the day. And I was listening to the radio, and I remember at one point kind of criticizing something about the songs that were being played. And this was like community radio. It wasn't like I was listening to, like, you know, Top 40. I'm like, I don't like that so much. And I remember even like having that inner dialogue to say, like, if you think you're so dang good at it, why don't you go do it yourself, basically, you know? I mean, you don't have a right to really complain until you at least give it a go. So between the fear of, I suppose, you know, living in a really terrible way like I was, and feeling like I don't have the right to complain about anything unless I try it myself, I figure those two factors really help motivate.
Well, Ben, congratulations on the new album, Mirage Rock.
Jason.
And thank you for joining us here at KCRW for this. Why don't we head into your second set? So this is going to be the electric portion of the night.
We're going to start bringing it up.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Band of Horses for KCRW. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
y'all. Thank you.
Thank you to Band of Horses.
awesome. Thank you so much.